So the epistle for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Romans chapter 6. Brethren, I speak a human thing because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members to serve uncleanliness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from justice. What fruit therefore had you then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of them is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God, life everlasting, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 7. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down and shall be cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruit you shall know them. Not every one that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Please be seated. And the end, life everlasting. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This month of July is dedicated to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The feast day starts off the month on July 1st. But this whole month, we can say, is dedicated to that. In the houses, at the priories and stuff, we pray the litany to the precious blood each day as a reminder for what our Lord has shed for us, into what purpose that he shed his most precious blood. It is to redeem mankind, to help us to be saved, and that is why then he shed his blood. And so for that, it's important for us not to allow our Lord's most precious blood to be shed in vain for our soul. In vain, meaning that's to no purpose. I mean, that is one of the things that our Lord suffered in his agony in the garden, is the realization that souls would turn their back on him, that they would not want to be saved. And so therefore, it caused our Lord so much suffering. Picturing that, realizing that, that souls would turn their back and therefore be lost for all eternity. And so therefore, yes, to some souls that he would shed in vain his blood. And so that's where in this month it's good for us to contemplate that. It's good for us to maybe even try to say the litany of the precious blood each day. As I say, just as the religious houses, we do that. I think it's also good for us to recognize and to understand why our Lord sheds his blood. It is to save us, and that is the response that we make to many of the invocations in the litany of the precious blood. Save us. And so, yes, that is our response, that is our call to Almighty God, the desire to be saved. But from that desire, there must also come forth reasonable ways of showing to Almighty God that we want to be saved, of how we live our lives. And I think the Epistle and the Gospel lend themselves to understanding this idea of living a life that is pleasing to God in order to gain life everlasting. Because that is the purpose for all of us, is to finally gain heaven for all eternity. And so with the Epistle itself, it speaks of serving God. And by serving God, it gives to us a holiness of life. And through that holiness of life, it will give us then life everlasting. That is why, going back to the idea of St. Augustine, where he says, how you live your life is how you will die. And so if you live your life constantly away from the graces of God, most likely you will die in that same state. Very rarely is that chance of a deathbed conversion at the very end of their life. It's a very rare occasion for someone to live their lives completely away from the graces of God and then call out and try to save their soul at that point. A lot of times the devil will utilize their life as a means to discourage them, to make them lose all hope of their salvation. So as I say, so that's why it's very rare for a soul to have a deathbed conversion. So as we live our lives, most likely that is how we will die. And so therefore, it's important for us then to realize that, to try to see, okay, how do we live a life that is pleasing to God? And our Lord gives us the answer to that. He said, it's those that do the will of my Father. It sounds very simple, but it is something that I think when we look at it in terms of how often we have our own sense, our own idea of how our life should be, what we should do. And so we lose sight of what maybe God's will for us is. I mean, a lot of times you can see that with the young adults, not giving a chance for the religious life, say. That they don't even consider it. They don't even look at it as an option for them. Because they convince themselves that that's not for me, that is not my life, that's not what I have. And so then they just turn their direction towards whatever, getting married, higher education, and they don't even consider then the religious life. And so that's why it's then important for us to understand that our Lord very clearly says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those that do the will of God, the will of my Father. They're the only ones that will get to heaven. And so then, again, we can look at it in terms of doing the will of God. Again, St. Paul gives us kind of an understanding of that where he says, the will of God is our sanctification. That's in another place where he talks about that and explains that to us, that it is God's will for every single one of us to save our soul to get to heaven. And so that's where we look at it in terms of, yes, God's will for us is to make it finally back to heaven. And so therefore, he will give us the graces, he will give us the what we need in order to accomplish that goal. But again, we have to ask for it. We have to seek that. We have to live a life that will give us that chance to receive the graces of God. But again, if we live a life completely away from God's grace, well, then we're not going to have that opportunity. And so that's where the epistle goes on and talks about the servants of sin. What will they produce? They will produce death. That's why St. Paul uses this phrase. It's very interesting to the Romans. He says, the wages of sin is death. You know, you think about the wages that you have by working in your job. Maybe your wages are lower than you'd like or different things. But that is what is given back to you for what you do yourself. What you do for the company, what you maybe do for yourself, if you have own your own business or different things. So the wages that you receive from that work is this monetary compensation. And so St. Paul utilizes that kind of analogy and understanding that the wages of sin, so what do we gain from sin? Death. And so certainly that is not something that any of us would want. But that is the realization of what will happen to us. Is if we are slaves to sin, if we're servants of our sins, that is what we'll gain out of it, is death. And that death is in reference to not just the physical death that we all undergo at some point in our lives, but he is referring to the spiritual death. The death of the soul, which then will put the soul in hell for all eternity. And so these famous words of St. Paul gives us a clear understanding. If we're living a life that is away from God, that is what we'll gain from that. And so that's where it's important for us. None of us want that. None of us want that, those wages given to us. Certainly don't want to open up your paycheck and find that to be death, your ticket to hell. That would be scary. Get that from your employer. So we certainly don't ever want that. But therefore, we must try to live our lives to be pleasing to God then. Staying in the state of grace, living a life that is pleasing to him. making sure that our Lord's shedding of his blood will not be in vain for our soul, that we're not one of the causes of our Lord's agony in the garden. I mean, these are reflections for us in this month of July. But then going on to the gospel account, as I mentioned to you, the famous, you know, quote that our Lord gives, "Lord, Lord, not always will those people enter into heaven." Because remember, if you think of the parable of the 10 virgins, you had the 5 virgins who were smart and they had the oil, which is signifying sanctifying grace of their soul. And then you had the 5 that were looking for oil because they were without sanctifying grace. Remember when the bridegroom came, which is signification of our Lord. The 5 brides that were obviously in sanctifying grace, they entered into the wedding feast. The 5 other ones knocked on the door and said, "Lord, Lord, open up." And he said, "I know you not." He knew them not because they were not in sanctifying grace. And so again, you see the same idea that our Lord says. Just because you say, "Lord, Lord," doesn't mean that you're going to enter into heaven. You can knock all you want, but if you're not in sanctifying grace, it amounts to nothing for you. And so that's where then also then our Lord goes on to talk about the analogy of the good fruit coming from the good tree, the bad fruit coming from the bad tree. And he says what will happen to the bad tree, it'll be cut down, cast into fire. And that fire is hell. And that's where he says, by their fruits you shall know them. And so that application can very simply be put to our own lives. Spiritually, what fruit do we show? Is there any fruit for us? Is there not? And so that is a reflection for us to think about, to consider for our own soul at this point. Are we producing good fruits or are we not? Would God consider us a good tree or not? If we're not a good tree, well, then we know the consequences of that, that he'll cut us down, cast us into fire. And so that's why I say the epistle and the gospel, I think, very clearly lend itself to our us understanding about our Lord shedding his most precious blood for all of us, but then for some it will be in vain. Those that are in vain, well, then we know the consequences of that. And so therefore, yes, apply it to your own lives. Are we doing God's will? Are we trying to live a life pleasing to God? Are we in the state of sanctifying grace? Do we produce good fruit in our own soul? And if not, well, that's what we need to change. That is what we need to try to rectify in our lives before it is too late. Because again, we know not the day nor the hour. Obviously, for those 5 virgins, they thought they had time to go into town to get the oil, and they didn't. So we know not the day nor the hour that God will call us. So therefore, it's a must for us to try to live our lives always pleasing to Almighty God. And so I think it very clearly lays out for us what we need to try to do every day of our lives. And remembering the fact that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those that do the will of his Father. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.